Welcome to part two of our conversation about angel mediums with Michael Terzi. It's an interesting concept, and I'm not sure if you've ever dealt with it, but I'd be interested in your opinion on it. When you have something that is negative, and I know you said multiple times, you know, attachments are rare, but it's an interesting thing to talk about. When you have something that is an attachment that is very negative, that that was once a human being, but is now, you know, almost a minion of something darker, but it's wreaking havoc with an individual. Let's say this once human spirit was that of a absolutely horrible person. You know, insert any many of horrible Wikipedia entries here. Here's Jeffrey Dahmer or you know, whatever horrible person you can possibly muster up in your mind that was just, you know, borderline the embodiment of evil on this planet. And now they're over there and they're still being negative and they're still feeding on people and they're just wreaking havoc left and right. The term we're always hearing is, okay, we're helping them move on. We're helping them move into the light. When you have something that is so dark, that was so dark in life, that is still being dark in death, is there ever the option where, look, this thing's not going to the light. This thing is, it's maybe it can be cast out, but can it be cast out to the darkness, essentially, to the other direction? Hell or whatever you want to call it. Is there a way where it can be moved out of the person, but this thing is not ever going to have the realization of errors in their ways? And they're dark. Does something like that happen where they move on to what, you know, in, you know, religion that we were all taught, you know, there's heaven and there's hell, you know, or is it just something where they're going to move on, but they're going to probably find somebody else. And the hell is really the plane of them being out there torturing other people.
Okay, so this might rock a few people's worlds. I'm not sure how many people have heard other podcasts or things that I've done, but when I am doing clearings, or just in general, when people do pass on, there obviously is what we call the spirit world. The spirit world, that the angels tell me, is this place where obviously spirits that go there to go through a certain kind of cleansing to then be able to go into the place where they can stay, or they can choose to come back and have another life. Within that dimension, there is also another dimension that we would call, I guess, for lack of a better term, the hell dimension. And so this is something that these darker spirits would go to. Like you said, the worst of the worst. You know, I mean, it's certain spirits that have died in the past are even still there. And they go through a punishment that is, so, you know, for an inordinate amount of time that fits the crime that they committed while they were in that life on Earth. And it's torturous, it's terrible, and they go through this punishment. And then they're immediately, after they've gone through that punishment, which, like I said, it's different for each person, immediately sent back to have another life without choosing what life they want to have or how they want to do it. And usually is not exactly the best life in the world. And these people are going through this in order to try to better themselves. The people that were terrible, that were awful in this particular life, because we've all had multiple lifetimes. All of us have had multiple lives. Whether people believe in past lives or not, I don't try to change anyone's mind, but sure, it's something that I know and I've seen. And so in other lifetimes, this Dahmer or this, you know, Manson or any of these people that are just awful people, in other lifetimes, they were not like that. It wasn't something that, like, this soul is eternally dark. Something happened to them in that particular life to create the kind of person that we know now in our history. And they have a chance to be able to try to better themselves, to become better, to become a person like you and me, someone that is a little bit more understanding and someone that's more kind. And they can try to be able to become a better soul. So the hell that I was taught, like as a Catholic, obviously, was an eternal hell where you're eternally punished for all eternity for everything that you did wrong in your one life.
Yeah.
But when the angels came to me and told me about all of these things, it made a little bit more sense to me. We have other lifetimes because we screw up. Am I going to go to hell because I stole this candy bar from a 7-Eleven when I was 12? I mean, no. I mean, these are things like we screw up. We make mistakes. And we have to be able to pay for those mistakes if we have no remorse for them and we don't try to better ourselves from it. But we have another chance. And so when I say that they go to the light, it's because they do go to the spirit world, no matter how negative they are, but then they do go to that dark place for quite a long time. And they're being punished for the things that they did. And they are, in a sense, trying to be cleansed again and trying to become, because all souls come from light, no matter how evil we may see that they are. Mm-hmm. You know, even the demons, people, you know, like my angels call them fallen angels, because at one point they were angels. All souls have come from that light. And when they come down and they eventually became these negative entities, whether they are demon or human, they have the propensity to be able to come back to that point again.
Is the light almost just one giant recycling center? Pardon, I mean, I'm not trying to be facetious here, but essentially I'm trying to put it into terms of ease of understanding where it's, you know, okay, get them to the light, no matter how negative it may be. And then that light is going to take you to that punishment place. Or is there another level of the light where it's an end game, where you don't have to keep coming back over and over, where it's you did it, you won, and now you can go to said heaven, if you will? Or is it just constantly a recycling process of, okay, light, you were good, now you get to choose your own adventure? What's your belief system there?
Yeah, the light, I kind of use that just as a general term, obviously. Sure. Because, you know, a lot of people use heaven as a term, or the spirit world. It's not just one big recycling center, although I can see where you would see that. It definitely is a place where you can choose.
Okay.
Now, obviously, the Mansons or the Hitlers or the terrible people that did awful things throughout history, they don't have a choice. They screwed up big time. Mm-hmm. In that life. They hurt many, many people. They cause a lot of pain and strife and war. And there's they get no choice. They go to that hell place. They go to that place where they are punished. Mm-hmm. People like you and I, who haven't done anything that's as terrible as that, murder, rape, you know, pedophilia, all those terrible things that people talk about, and some people do. We don't do those things. We have done little things here and there that were not so great, lying or, you know,
sure.
Stealing a candy bar when you're 12, you know, like little things like that. We go to a place still in the light, in heaven, where we talk with our guardian angels. We go over everything that we did, some mistakes that we may have made, some things that we would have done differently. Did we learn our life lesson during this life? And then after that time, which is different for everyone,
sure,
we can choose. Do I want to stay in heaven? Do I want to just be up here and help other souls as they come through? Do I want to become a spirit guide for somebody? Because I see angels and spirit guides on spiritual teams that people have when I do readings. And these spirit guides can be people from past lives. They can be a mother or a father that want to come back to you and be a part of your spiritual team. Or do I actually want to have another life? Some people are asked to come back and have another life, but a lot of them choose that. Mm-hmm. And it's strange to think that way, because maybe we didn't have such a great life in the last life. Why do I want to go through that again?
Sure.
Well, it is always different. It is always a benefit to us to be able to have these lives, because the ultimate goal is to learn, grow, and to evolve and to become stronger as a soul. And we can't always do that by just staying in that beautiful, loving, safe place. So we choose to be able to come back and start again, to try again, to learn something new, to become stronger. It's weird how the soul does that, because in our minds right now, I've had a lot of people say, you know, I'm not coming back. This is it.
Yeah.
Okay. I've had six lives. Okay. You know, that's enough. When I die this time, I'm just going to choose to stay.
Sure.
But it's funny. We don't know what we're going to want when we go back there. And so, yeah, there are definitely choices.
When individuals, you know, you'll hear the term thrown out there kind of loosely, like, oh, they're an old soul. You know, sometimes, you know, people, children especially, sometimes just have knowledge beyond what they really should have. And there's no real explanation as to how you know this, or why you would know this, or, you know, and sometimes it's very tangible things where it's not just like, oh, they've just advanced in this area and they've understood the social norms or what's acceptable here or there. It's like, you you blew up in a rocket ship? What? You know, yeah. It's like they'll say things that it's like wasn't in a cartoon. Where did you get this information? Is there ever a way when you have things like that where you is there a way, I guess, a question to tap into some part of our brain to identify what those past lives may have been if we had had them?
Yeah, there are. Yes. And you actually hit it very well, is that because a lot of people will use the term old soul, thinking that souls, most of them are created at different points in time. Mm-hmm. But old soul does refer to people that have had more lives than maybe someone else. Mm-hmm. That's the way the angels see it anyway, because, you know, there are some people that may have only come back and had three or four lives. But then there are some that I have encountered that have had seven or eight. And to them, I would call them an old soul. And there are ways that we can do that sometimes. Obviously, we catch subconscious glimpses of that. Like you mentioned, people will have a vivid dream. People will have a lucid waking dream. They will just have a memory pop into them, or something happened in this life that seemed so familiar, almost kind of like a different kind of deja vu, where it happened to them, but it didn't happen now. It happened 200 years ago, mm-hmm. You know, it was a similar situation. So subconsciously, people pick up on that a lot. One of the things that I can do, which there are different options that I've heard of. So one, obviously, are past life regressions. Whether people really like those or not, that is completely individualized. I have heard great things and I have heard not so great things. So it is really up to the person to be able to see, could this be something that would help me? And that is usually someone putting them under a little bit of like a hypnotic trance and then asking them leading questions to be able to help them pull out a life that may be blocking something for them in this life. I also do past life readings because your angel, your main guardian angel, the one that I always talk with when I do readings, and I can talk to other angels that are around you too, but usually that one takes precedent, has been with you throughout all those lifetimes. You always have an angel. Your angel has always been your angel since your soul was created. And so that angel has always been with you. And so I can do past life readings with them and tell you about the lives that you had and the things that went on and the lessons that you learned during that life and how it builds up to this life. Mm-hmm. And so that I've done quite a few of those. And so that does help people sometimes. Some people think we shouldn't know too much about our past lives. And so I don't give everything away usually. I just give what the angels tell me. And that's usually something in order to benefit you now, because they're more interested in your life now. But knowing about that past can help support you.
Have we all had past lives? Is there ever lives that are literally new that haven't been through the ringer a time or two? I mean, because at this point, you would in the history of our world, you would think we would have all gone through, if it's all being redone multiple times, there would be not, you know, two, three, four, you know, past lives, but hundreds, thousands of them, if not for an individual soul. What's your view on that?
Well, first, are there new ones? As far as I have encountered myself and from what my angels tell me, there will be at least somebody that has at least had one life before I meet them. Because then, you know, new souls aren't constantly being pushed out like in a factory or something. You know, some have been created a little bit later, but a lot of them were created around the same time. And then they just came in at different points. And so, yeah, they have had different lifetimes at different points in our history. So I have at least found people that have had one or two before I've met them. The reason why we see the number as so low is because logically we have to take into account, because I have had some people come to me and said, oh, I've had like 50 lives, mm-hmm. someone told me. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, and they're not really asking me, so I don't say anything to burst their bubble. But the most that I've seen from somebody has been eight. And one of the reasons why is because time moves differently when we pass on. So let's say I have a life, my first life, and I live to be 40 years old, 50 years old, because, you know, obviously back then life expectancy wasn't quite as high. And then I pass on. Okay, so now I'm in the spirit world. I go over everything with my guardian. That itself could take a year or two in Earth time. So then we go on. So then now we decide, do I want to stay? Some people might want to stay. And maybe they'll stay for 20, 30, 50 years in Earth time. And then they choose to come back. Well, if they were there during biblical times and now they come back 100 years later, things are much different. And then they go through that life again for another 40, 50, 60 years. You know, it's a cycle and everyone goes through that cycle. So that's why the angels told me that, yeah, it's not as many as like 20, 30, 50 lifetimes so far. The time is linear and it goes that way. And so people come in during those points in history. So they haven't had a chance to have as many lifetimes.
So it's not just a quick, okay, dead, gone, let's figure this out. Now you're back, 2 weeks after you're dead. No. Here's one question about that. Time being linear, and we have, the way that we view time here on Earth and in our life, there's start, there's end. There's past, there's future, there's present. Is there ever cases, do you believe, where one is reincarnated, but they're reincarnated not necessarily in the future, but into the past? Where you're coming back, but guess what? Now it's 1842. And last time you were around was 1996, or something like that. Where you go back, and you're learning your lessons there.
From what they told me, that particular idea is not a possibility.
Okay.
It's that time has passed. Okay. Can people look into the past and see the past? Yes, because that energy has already gone through and it's done its thing. But my favorite trilogy is Back to the Future.
Sure.
I love Back to the Future. Everybody knows I love it, that knows me at all. And so I would love for something like that to be real. Mm-hmm. But from what I've been told, being able to actually go back into that, we would be able to see it, but we wouldn't be able to interact with it. So people don't come back if they died in 1996. They don't go back, like you said, into 1842.
Okay.
It's usually, it does go forward. Yeah.
Okay. Let me go back to another thing that you had said initially. I know we're kind of going through the first, 10 minutes, you unpacked so many things and it brought up so many questions, but that's great.
Sorry.
When you saw your first human spirit, and this is going to be another kind of, many question. What was going through your mind? And as you're starting to were you starting to think that you were having a breakdown of some sort or suffering from some sort of mental disorder when you first had that experience? Did you go and go to the doctor and say, hey, I'm seeing this, I'm feeling this? Did you kind of keep it on the down low and see how this kind of progressed? How did you process that at that moment in time? Because obviously there are cases, there's people who where this happens and it has nothing to do with angels or demons or ghosts or spirits or whatever. It's just simply the mind is misfiring and it's some sort of mental disorder.
Of course. Yeah. And honestly, I went through that whole mental disorder thing.
Sure.
Even when I was becoming an empath, I was something's wrong with me, I thought, and I was looking up a bunch of things. Obviously, in medical school, I was looking in a bunch of different textbooks, going to the library. I even talked to a few peers that were not optometrists, but also learning how to be osteopathic doctors, because the school that I went to was very interactive between the different colleges. Mm-hmm. And so what it came down to was that nothing could explain it. I know I didn't have any kind of mental disorder. My family history doesn't have anything like that. I have never experienced anything like that. Could this just be medical school getting to me? I questioned all of that because I am a rational guy. That's where I came from.
Sure.
But when nothing else explains it, and then you have that empathy and you know it's there and it's a part of you, you have to go with it.
Yeah.
And so going with it just felt right and it felt correct. And as I learned that I couldn't shut it down, that's when that human spirit came. So by the time I got to that human spirit, I almost just threw my hands up in the air. I was like, okay, this is par for the course. Mm-hmm. Let's see where this goes. And so I was scared when I first saw it because it just popped in out of nowhere. It was just in my room. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, what am I seeing now? And then I looked at it with my eyes, my physical eyes, and I couldn't see it. And then I would look down and then I would see it standing there in my mind's eye almost. Mm-hmm. Like people refer to the third eye. And I was shocked that I was seeing it like this, almost as if it was right in front of me, very, very clear. And as I concentrated on it, I could see features. I could see clothing. I could see the arms. I could see a little bit of the face and the hair. And I'm I was like, this is a person. What is going on? And I got chills through me. And it wasn't that they were cold. It was just like adrenaline kind of going through me, I guess. And I just couldn't, at first I couldn't fathom it. And then as it opened its mouth, excuse me, that's when I started to get that Charlie Brown voice that I talked about. You know, the teacher, yeah, you can't really hear what they're saying, but the person would respond. And so I was trying to hear them. And after a while, the fear or the uncertainty became curiosity, because I always want to learn more. I want to understand. That's always been a part of me. Aside from wanting to help people, I've always wanted to become a little bit more understanding of the world around us as well. And when the empath thing opened up so much more, and now this was happening. So I became more curious with it.
Sure.
And then after that spirit left and I stopped talking with it and other ones would come, I would still get scared and I would still be confused and still even questioning if I was, going a little bit crazy, but these things made sense. And then as I started giving readings to people or relaying messages from spirits to other people, mm-hmm, or from their angels, especially, and they understood those things, it resonated with them. Now I knew at that point, I couldn't just know these things. I'm really not that smart. If it's resonating with them and they understand it and the things that I'm saying are accurate, I'm getting it from another source.
Yeah.
And we all have different gifts. And part of that, it does actually help us with our everyday life. And people with gifts don't have to become mediums. But at the same time, if that's what you're given, then I always tell people to try to embrace it and just understand it better.
And that's really kind of leading into the next question I had for you with giving readings. Obviously, there's a beginning to everything, a start to everything. And you giving someone a reading, you having that moment where you were able to tell someone something about them and relay information to them from an angel, from something on the other side that they were not able to see or hear. And then getting that confirmation, getting that look in their eye, like, how the hell did you know that? What was that for you? I mean, tell me, what was that first experience like where it not only would probably give you that confirmation beyond what you already really suspected at 98%, but there was that 2% still like, what if? But, that pushed you over that edge to go 100% and say, yeah, this is real. This is certainly happening. There's no way I could ever possibly know this. And this moment is what solidified it for me to know this is not something that could be out there in the ether that I haven't identified yet, but this is in fact what I believe it is.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. Well, obviously the first reading that I ever gave was to my wife. And that was interesting because you would think that I knew her better than anyone else, obviously. But talking with her angel, I was able to bring up things from when she was, 13, 12, 14, 15, 16, little things that happened, things that she experienced, trips that she took, things that happened that were significant to her that she never told me about. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that was very interesting and kind of gave me a little bit of confidence, like I said, to go through family. And then the stranger, the first person that I gave a reading to that I didn't know at all from a hole in the wall. And that was nerve-wracking because then you're still thinking to yourself, kind of second-guessing, kind of questioning, am I crazy? Yeah. Am I just pulling on things that I may just feel? Or am I talking with this angel that I'm seeing and hearing? And when I started doing it and I went through the process and I went through very slowly because I'm not the kind of person that speedballs a reading. Mm-hmm. I don't just have that, blah, 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 and just talk straight. Yeah. I try to go slowly, give the accurate information so that people get everything that's important. And so I was going very slowly and I was connecting and I was listening to them and I was saying those things. And the person was just shocked that I knew what happened to them or to their families when they were around 8 years old, or that I knew the name of their first boyfriend, or that I knew there were these little things that would come up, and they all added up to the fact that I've never told people these things. I never told people how I felt about this. I never told anyone that this was something that really hurt me. I never shared these things with anybody. You knew this. And so this really helped me. Thank you so much. Because angels don't just tell you about things that you already know. They try to give you support and information and knowledge to be able to help you, to empower you, to be able to go forward with your life, to guide you, because that's what they do. They love guiding. They can't tell us what to do because of our free will, but they'll always guide us down the right path. And to have done that the first time, I wanted to be able to do that again, because it gave me something that I'm not ashamed to say that it gave me some fulfillment as well. I want to help. And being an eye doctor is great to be able to help people, to be able to see eye doctors out there, you know, more power to them, you know, but this gave me something else that I was missing. And so not only does it help others, but it helps me feel like more like myself.
That wraps up the second half of our conversation with Michael Terzi about him being an angel medium. Thank you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We could not do this show without you. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.